Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us.
Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 41 and 42 for our text and get right into our message. For those of you that are guests with us, we have been preaching for several weeks on the subject of the local church. And what is a church? What does a church believe? How does a church behave? And how we thank God for this study. The Bible says Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And so today we continue that study, looking back in Acts 2 at the church at Jerusalem in the very early hours of church history, and trying to understand how things functioned and then to follow in that pattern. And so Acts 2, we're going to read verses 41 and 42 for our text today. And so follow with me as we read. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now, you'll take note that they first received the word. That word, if you read it earlier in the passage, was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they first received that message, then after their salvation were baptized. And so they were then added to, and you'll notice in verse 41, it says there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the infallible word of God, and we thank you for the privilege to open it and to learn of your truth and of your ways, and in particular, your ways for the church. And help us today, Lord, to personalize and to practice the things that you show us here. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this month we begin the holiday season, and we look forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and there's going to be a lot of gatherings. There's going to be a lot of times when we get together with other groups of people and celebrate the meaning of these various holidays. And as we gather together at these times, some of them are going to be more socializing in nature, and some of them are going to be more of a fellowship in nature. And we're going to learn this morning there is a difference between Christian fellowship and the socializing that takes place in various different types of activities. We're going to learn that God has a definite type of fellowship and encouragement and growth that he wants us to experience in the Christian life. And God today has designed the church to be a place where that fellowship is alive and where it is purposeful as we enjoy it together. And what I want you to see with me this morning from the Bible are the characteristics of Christian fellowship. And these would give to us the desires and goals of God for our lives individually and as families. I want you to notice, first of all, that when real fellowship takes place, our faith is stabilized. Our faith will be stabilized. I think it's fair to say that the media today and much of the world system, as the Bible refers to it, much of the world today is making an assault on your Christian faith. Oftentimes, instead of being encouraged in your faith, a lot of the socializing of this world will ridicule your faith, will tell you to downplay the name of Jesus Christ or not to be so religious. Oftentimes, instead of encouraging our faith, even though the world talks about diversity, there is a tremendous putting down of the Christian faith. And so what I want you to know today about Christian fellowship is that it is the type of fellowship that will stabilize your faith. It will not tear your faith down, but it will encourage you in the ways of the Lord. Now, why is that? How does it function? Notice, if you will, first of all, faith is stabilized because of the continuance principle. As you continue with those people who have also believed in Jesus Christ, your faith will be stabilized. Now, that's very common sense, but let's just see it for what it is in the Bible. The Bible says in verse number 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Now, I know this is simple this morning, but the Christian life is designed to be a continual relationship with God and with the people of God. In other words, when you're born again, that is when you're saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is the beginning point of a relationship with God and His people. It's not the end point, it's the beginning of a wonderful relationship with God. The Bible says, for example, in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you accept Christ as your Savior, a good work is begun. You are born again. You have a new nature. Now then, God wants to continue His work in you until we see Jesus Christ once again. And so the Bible says simply of this church that after they received the word concerning the death, burial, and resurrection, and after they were baptized, they continued in their Christian faith. I want to commend you this morning for continuing on. Would be to God that everybody in America who professes faith in Jesus Christ were continuing today in their faith, were practicing today the principles of the Word of God. True faith is an ongoing faith. Notice the Bible says there, they continued steadfastly. That means they steadfastly or with attentiveness to their faith continued on as God was leading them. And so their faith was stabilized simply because they continued, but specifically now, notice what the text says. It says, and they continued, notice specifically, in the apostles' doctrine. And so as they gathered together for Christian fellowship, the centerpiece of their fellowship, the focal point, the reason that they gathered together was the doctrine taught to them by the apostles. Now, it wasn't Los Angeles Dodgers. It wasn't the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't some of the other things, though those things may be peripheral things that we enjoy discussing. But the real reason they got together was the common faith they had in Jesus Christ. Now, the early church sat under the teaching of the apostles. The teaching of the apostles has been recorded in the Word of God. And it is the responsibility of every God-called pastor to teach and preach what the apostles have given to us through the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And we see that that was the center point. It was the focal point of their fellowship. Now, one church that really emphasizes that for us today is the church known as the church at Berea. And we read about them in Acts chapter 17. And I want you to read these verses. Notice it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things be so. And so the early church of Berea, they were referred to as more noble because they searched the scriptures daily. They continued studying the apostles' doctrine. They studied the Old Testament passages that prophesied the coming of Messiah. They studied the teaching of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so we ask the question today, what is the basis of your friendship and of your fellowship with other people? And as Christians today, the basis is our common belief in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 20 says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple to the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, the local New Testament church is a building, each of us a part of the building, Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, the apostles' teaching as the foundation, and we are gathered here being built and developed as a spiritual household to the glory of God. And the center of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He challenged them to be grounded and settled in their faith. Now, when you are with God's people, and when you're enjoying Christian fellowship, the name of Christ is not used as a slang word or a curse word. And the name of Christ is not just some peripheral part of the language, but He is central and He is preeminent. And it's a wonderful thing to discuss how you are encouraged by a Bible message or by something you read in the Word of God. It's a normal thing to be able to talk about your faith and the blessings of your faith. And so whereas there is a type of enjoyment and a type of socializing that we enjoy even with unsaved relatives at the holiday season or parties at work, God says you're going to need times when you are being edified and your faith is being stabilized, and that's the kind of fellowship you can enjoy with people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Your faith is stabilized in Christian fellowship. Notice, secondly, your fellowship is sustained. Your fellowship will be sustained through Christian fellowship. Now, I want you to see what it says here in verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, have you noticed that the world's friends come and go? I mean, if you have friends based upon what sports team you like or who you hate or whatever the commonality is, those relationships are up and down. But God's design for Christian fellowship is that it would be lasting and that it would continue on sustaining and encouraging your life. I heard about three mischievous boys who skipped school one day and they went to the zoo. They thought they'd go have some fun. And so after a while, sure enough, they got in trouble. Someone called the police and the police came and took these three boys. They had been over at the elephant cage and they had been creating some type of a problem over there. And so the police officer took them into the little station and he called the first one in. The young man's name was Billy. And he said, "All right, tell me your name. My name's Billy. Billy, what were you doing?" He said, "I wasn't doing anything, officer. I was just throwing peanuts into the elephant's cage." And he said, "All right," and wrote that down. He brought the next boy in. His name was Gary. And he said, "All right, Gary, tell me about what you were doing." He said, "I wasn't doing anything, sir. I was just throwing peanuts into the elephant's cage." He wrote it down. He said, "Okay." He brought the third boy in. His name was Larry. And he said, "All right, tell me what was going on." He said, My name is Larry, but my friends call me Peanuts." And sometimes you have a friend like that just didn't turn out to be the kind of friend you'd hoped that they were. And instead of helping you, they're kind of throwing you around, if you will. Well, that's not God's design for Christian fellowship. And certainly a Christian that is not walking in the Word and according to the Spirit may not measure up to God's design in the sense of fellowship. But let me show you the way God intends our fellowship to operate. First of all, our fellowship is sustained through Jesus Christ. It's sustained through Him. We have a fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. It means a community or a partnership. And our fellowship is comprised of people who have Jesus Christ as their Lord, Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." I like what one author said. He said, "Let those be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their chief companion." Let those be thy choicest companions who have made Christ their chief companion. Now, no doubt we'll have friends and gatherings during the holiday season, and certainly you should. Even if you have family who deny Jesus Christ, I believe you need to love them and honor your family and so forth. But your best acquaintances and friendships, your most edifying relationships, are going to be with those who have made Jesus Christ their chief companion. You see, saved people, people who know the Lord, fellowship one with another. And their commonality is their faith in Jesus Christ. We fellowship in prayer. We fellowship when we sing. We fellowship when we gather together. We fellowshiped last week around our missionaries and sending them to the foreign fields. We fellowship around the Lord's table, as we will tonight, observing the Lord's table. We fellowship in Bible study. And God says, "I want your fellowship to always be a Christ-centered fellowship." I love the statement in your notes. It says, "There is a Christian failure to distinguish between socializing and fellowshipping. Although socializing is often both a part of and the context of fellowship, it is possible to socialize without having fellowship. Socializing involves the sharing of human and earthly life. Christian fellowship, New Testament koinonia, involves the sharing of spiritual life. Don't misunderstand, socializing is a valuable asset to the church and necessary for a balanced life. But we have gone beyond giving socializing the place it deserves. We have become willing to accept it as a substitute for fellowship, almost cheating ourselves of the Christian birthright of true fellowship together. Maybe you've heard someone say, that church is really a social club. The statement that is being made is that what is going on there could be happening at the Elks or the Moose or the Boy Scouts. Because there's not a strong Bible message. There's not a true fellowship that's revolving around the person and the work and the mission of Jesus Christ. And while socializing is needed, and while the Boy Scouts are fun and other things of this nature may add benefit to our lives, the greatest need for the Christian is for fellowship with like-minded people who will stabilize your faith and who will sustain you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's God's design for the local New Testament church, that while your faith is under assault in this world, that your faith will be established in His church. And as churches dumb down the doctrine, and as churches emphasize mere socializing rather than true Christian fellowship, the church is weakened and Christians are not strengthened to do the work that they have been called to do. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." By the way, how many of you thank God for the blood that was shed for your sin? Amen. And because we have that common faith in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a fellowship one with another that is sweet and precious. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And by the way, don't ever sit in the church and say, "Well, you know, I'm just not sure that I belong here. I just don't know if I can fit." Why? They've been married 29 years and I've been married 29 times. Or they've been in church 25 years and this is my very first time and I just don't think I measure up. I want to tell you something. The only reason any of us are worthy to be here today is because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. None of us here are any better than the others. All of us are sinners who needed a Savior, and Jesus Christ shed His blood for our sin. And it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Your worth is based on your birth. And when you are born again through Jesus Christ, you're a part of the family of God. And you can enjoy the fellowship of the people of God. And how we thank God that saved people can fellowship one with another. And notice also, saved people will forsake ungodly socializing. Did you know that after you become a child of God, it's not God's will that you would continue fellowshipping in the same way or socializing in the same way that you did before Christ? Did you know that it's His will that you would be a part of a called out assembly of believers that belong to the Lord? Look at what it says in your notes, Ephesians 5:11. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So 1 John says, you're a child of the light. I want you to walk in the light. And Ephesians says, I don't want you walking with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now that may be the old tavern you hang out at. That may be the old friends. That may be the old internet sites. I don't know what it means to you. I just know this, that now that you're a Christian, God wants you to stop socializing where you used to socialize and start fellowshipping with people that are going to help you go where you need to go. And that is the very basic step in becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ, in continuing on in Christian fellowship, praying to have Jesus as your Savior. Yes, that's a wonderful beginning, but now the journey is a journey of turning away from the unfruitful works of darkness and following the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 provides further information when it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" God says, hey, now that you're my child, I don't want you yoking together. I don't want you giving your allegiance to people who deny me. I want you to serve me and walk in the light with me. I want you to walk with people that are going to encourage you in this way with me. I once saw a Peanuts cartoon, and I get some of my better sermons out of the Peanuts cartoon section. And as I was reading through the Peanuts cartoon there, Lucy was walking around and she was in a bad mood. And she said to Charlie Brown, she said, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world." And Charlie Brown said, "Well, I thought you had inner peace." Lucy said, "I do have inner peace, but I also have outer obnoxiousness." You ever get around somebody like that? I was driving behind a lady years ago, and she had a bumper sticker on her car. It said, "Another woman for world peace." And I thought, well, that's special. And as I got up a little closer to her, I looked inside the car. I'm telling you, there was music blaring out from the car. This woman was on the cell phone, and she was yelling and screaming at somebody. She wasn't smoking. She was eating a cigarette. I mean, she was just like this, you know, and on the phone and frustrated. And I thought, good night. There's another woman for world peace that doesn't have any right inside her car by her lonesome. Folks, I'm going to simply say that you can't be involved in the unfruitful works of darkness and really have inner peace. And God says, now that you're mine, now that you're saved, I want you to be edified and stabilized with people who are going to encourage you in the Lord, not places and people that are going to take you away from the things of the Lord. And so we're sustained because of Christ's presence in our life. But notice, secondly, we're sustained through Christ's body. Now, the body of Christ is the local church, and we saw that a few weeks ago. And we're reading here about a local church. And the Bible says that after they were saved and baptized, they were added unto this pre-existing group at Jerusalem, which is called the church at Jerusalem. And now the Bible says that they begin to fellowship with one another in this body of believers called the church. And I want you to know that God has designed the Christian life so that salvation is not from the church. Any church that says they can save your soul is blasphemous. They are usurping the place of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, only Jesus can wash our sins away. But the church, while it is not the giver of salvation, it is a sustaining place for someone that wants to grow in their faith. Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, said years ago, "Some Christians try to go to heaven alone in solitude, but believers are not compared to bears or lions or other animals that wander alone. Those who belong to Christ are sheep in this respect, that they have love to get together. Sheep go in flocks, and so do God's people." You see, God didn't design the Christian life for you to be like an angry bear up in the woods alone and going around frustrated. God said, no, I want to liken my people to sheep. They need me to be their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and they need to stay together. And whenever a little lamb gets 500 yards from the flock, the wolves are always circling and watching. And you show me a Christian that's not a part of a local New Testament church, I'll show you a Christian in trouble of losing the fellowship that should be so sweet to them, of endangering their marriage or their family, because they're not where God designed them to be in the local church. Look at what it says in Hebrews 10:24, if you would. It says there, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." God says, hey, I think we need to encourage one another and provoke one another to love and to good works, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. You know, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is coming again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air. And friends, while we don't have time to preach an entire message on prophecy, I truly believe that we need to live our lives with this idea. I want to be faithful when Jesus comes again. I don't want to be off fooling around and out of church and out of fellowship with God, but I want to be growing stronger and stronger as I see that day approaching. And so our fellowship is sustained because it is with Christ. Our fellowship is sustained because it is with the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, I want to share a quick thought with you here in the message that I think will be a little practical part of the message today. At Lancaster Baptist Church, one of the ways that we facilitate this body life, this fellowship, this encouragement of the people of God, is through our adult Bible class ministry. And at the 10 o'clock hour, we have 45 adult Bible classes, and in January, we're going to have 55 adult Bible classes to help facilitate the kind of fellowship I'm preaching about. Genuine Christian relationships where your faith is strengthened, where your fellowship is continual, where your marriage is stronger, where you'll have friends to help keep you accountable and have activities on a monthly basis. And I want you to look in your notes and see why we're going to be changing our schedule coming up in the month of January. You know, a growing church is always in transition. Lancaster Baptist Church has been growing for 25 years, and we're looking forward to what God has coming up in 2011. Several things that we've looked at, and I want you to see some of the needs that are met with a new schedule. First, we are creating additional educational space. Right now, we're going to take this property, and instead of having one educational hour at 10 o'clock, we're going to be having classes at 9 o'clock and at 10:30, our adult Bible classes at 2 hours. And so without building another multi-million dollar building, we're adding more classes by using the buildings twice. Secondly, we're going to support biblical fellowship by adding new classes. Thirdly, we're going to start several new adult life stage Bible classes. Fourthly, we're going to allow more people to grow in leadership. We're going to add 25 classes this next year. That's 25 people learning and leading and helping others in their faith. And fifthly, because of our anticipation for future ministry growth. Now, what we have seen God do in these first 25 years is a miracle. From 12 people to several thousand people every weekend, one of the largest Baptist churches west of the Mississippi. Ladies and gentlemen, that's to the glory of God. But we truly believe the best is yet to come. And so we're structuring now to see what God has in store for the future. Let me give it to you in a nutshell, this schedule. Starting on January the 9th, we're going to have our full Sunday school and worship schedule. You'll notice starting on January the 9th, we're going to have at 8 o'clock in the morning, the Antelope Valley Bible class. And the West Coast Baptist College students will have their class as well. There will be no child care at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, we're going to have a full slate of adult Bible classes. Many of you will probably be in those 9 o'clock classes because here you are in the 11 o'clock service, so you'll likely be in the 10:30 service at the new schedule. There'll be a full slate of classes for you at the 9 o'clock hour. Then at 10:30, we're going to have our morning worship service. Now, some of you are already thinking ahead. You're thinking, hey, pastor's going to start at 10:30 instead of 11. Now we can beat the Methodist to the hometown buffet. That may not happen. My wife says, I know why you start those services earlier, so you can preach longer. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. But I do know this. We're going to have classes and worship and classes and worship at the same time. Now, we're going to start the schedule 9 and 10:30 on January the 2nd. That's the first Sunday of the new year. No classes on that day, just the morning worship services at 9 and 10:30. Not that I don't think you could handle it. I mean, you're doing real well today with an hour extra sleep. You're looking real perky and smart. But I just didn't know if you could handle the new services and the new classes on the same day. So we're going to start the new services on the first Sunday and the whole program on the second Sunday. Why is that? So that everybody will have a place for Christian fellowship and growth as our church continues to grow. I like what one author said. He said, Satan watches for those vessels that sail without a convoy. I want to say again, the local church was not our idea. It was God's idea. You read the Bible. To the church at Corinth, to the church at Philippi, to the church at Ephesus. You see, God ordained churches to facilitate the Christian growth we're preaching about today. And when you enjoy Christian fellowship, three things are going to happen. First, your faith will be sustained. Secondly, your fellowship will be sustained. And then notice thirdly, your friendships will be strengthened. Your friendships will be strengthened. I'm going to close this morning's message with four quick thoughts on Christian fellowship and how it affects the friendships of the people of God. I want you to recognize that God's intention is that our relationships one with another would sharpen one another. Your relationships in life will either sharpen you or dull you. Your life is being sharpened right now by the people that you have friendships with, or your life is being dulled. You're being encouraged in your faith or discouraged from your faith. And so I want you to see four characteristics God wants in your marriage, four characteristics God wants in your Christian fellowship. The first way that we're going to strengthen one another is through honesty. God says, I want you to be honest in these relationships. Proverbs 27 and verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, sometimes in your adult Bible class, you might have a friend that comes up to you and they go, hey man, I've missed seeing you lately. And maybe you'll say something like, well, I've been sick and my wife was in the hospital. And maybe they'll say, man, I'm sorry to hear that. And how about if we can take you out to lunch next week? Or what can we do to encourage you? And maybe they'll say something like that. Maybe they'll say, boy, I've missed seeing you lately. And maybe you'll say to them, well, I know. I've been over at St. Mary's playing bingo lately. And your friend might look at you and say, hey, now listen, you're not going to build a strong marriage playing bingo. And you need to get back to the house of God. And I'm glad you're here today. And you know, sometimes when someone says something like that to you, it might sting just a little bit. But the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes it's a sign of love when someone will just speak the truth to you. Fellas, isn't it a bummer when your wife's the one that's speaking the truth like that? You know she's right. And your wife says, you know, honey, you could probably deal with the kids this way. Or I sure wish we'd get back to church Sunday. I think that's really good for our family. Sometimes the honesty of a spouse is designed by God to help us live sharper and live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. A friendship that is strong in the Lord is built on honesty. Secondly, it's going to be built through dependability. Built through dependability. You know, the Bible speaks of this in John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus says, I want you to love the way that I have loved. I want your love to be a dependable love. Now, I think about our young people, some 60 young people overseas from our church in the military today. And I know that many of them, when they come back, they're looking for you and they're looking for me. They're hoping to see us faithful in our place, dependable in our place. Our missionaries around the world, when they come back, they're looking for us. And God says that one of the characteristics of a strong friendship is we're dependable. Fellas, let me encourage you in your marriage. Elevate dependability by eliminating doubts. Be dependable. Be accountable in your marriage one with another. Have the kinds of Christian men and women in your life that are elevating dependability. We build strong relationships through honesty, through dependability. Notice thirdly, through encouragement. You know, a lot of what the church is about is encouraging us in our faith. And the Bible says in Proverbs 27, 17, these words, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. For several months, Brother Schmidt, our associate pastor, has been saying, Pastor, you need to have a Facebook account. And I'm like, oh man, that's one more thing to do. And I'm leery of the whole internet anyways. And a lot of it to me is just time wasting and gossip and so forth. I know there's a good side to it. I'm just old fashioned. I still like pencil and paper, if you know what I mean. Now, I use it all the time. Don't misunderstand me. But the fact is, it was just one more thing. And so we began to study that and so forth, and I found out that Facebook has 500 million users. By itself, Facebook would be the fifth largest nation in the world today, those people. It's amazing to me. Most of you that are laughing are a part of that nation. I know. And last year, the largest growing group of users in Facebook were people ages 50 to 64. It started off in 2004 as just college kids being dumb, you know, making their little profile, you know. By the way, if you're on that Facebook, make sure that your profile is distinctively Christian, right? And Brother Schmidt was putting a profile for me. I said, tell him I'm a Baptist on there. You know, link it good to the church and the college and get it good. Make sure you're don't put something on there that someone might try to read between the line and make a pass at you. That's a whole other sermon, but how many of you know that's going to be a good sermon? I'm working on a new sermon called What's Your Profile? But what I didn't really understand about Facebook, and my son Matt said, Dad, you're going to say it wrong, so tell me after church, son, but it goes something like this. People can kind of send you a message that basically says, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Some people are offering prizes and they're offering to do weird things if they get enough friends to sign up in a particular period of time. Now, I want you to stop and ponder that right now, say 200 million people somewhere in the world are asking another 200 million people somewhere in the world, would you be my friend? God created us with a desire to know and to fellowship and to be with others. And the devil will exploit that in the wrong way. But God says, hey, I do want you to have friends. I just want you to have the kind that sharpen you and make you better. Not the kind that ruin your marriage. Not the kind you drive to Ohio to meet. Not the kind that take you to the wrong places. But the kind that build strong friendships. Ecclesiastes speaks of it. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, Lancaster Baptist Church is not a place of perfect friends, but I can tell you this, it's a wonderful place to have a second chance. And if you've blown it or you haven't done so well in the last relationship, we're not here to condemn. We're here to help you get back up and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Honesty, dependability, encouragement. Fourthly, God says, I want you to have friendships that are built on acceptance. I want the church to be a place that's accepting people and loving people. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, some denominations are making a mistake. They're accepting the sins of people. They're ordaining homosexuals into the ministry. They're bringing all kinds of wicked entertainment onto the platform. We're not talking about condoning sin, but we are talking about loving sinners. We're talking about the fact that God wants His church to be a place where everybody can meet Jesus Christ and where everybody's life can be radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. A friend loveth at all times. I like what Dale Carnegie said years ago. He said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 10 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And some of you today, I want to challenge you. In order to have friends, a man must show himself friendly. To look for opportunities to encourage others in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because real fellowship will stabilize our faith. And real fellowship will sustain all through the years. And real fellowship will strengthen friendships and marriages if it's around Christ, based on the principles of the doctrines and Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone. And where does this real fellowship all begin? Go back as we close one more time to 1 John 1:7. It's there in your notes or look in your Bible, 1 John 1:7. And remember how we have this fellowship. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, someone might say, I don't deserve fellowship with all these people, and it's not based on what you deserve. Human logic says, I have to earn God's acceptance. But grace says, you're accepted through Jesus Christ because He shed His blood, not for the perfect, but for sinners who will come to Him in repentance. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You might be here this morning, you don't even know for sure that you are saved. You're not sure that you're a part of God's family. You've not enjoyed this type of fellowship. You say, Pastor Chapel, I mean, I believe in God and religion and all that in the pluralistic sense, in a secularized kind of way. But to really know that my sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, that I have a home in heaven someday, I'm not too sure about that. And I want you to know something. The Bible says in this same book, 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Did you hear that? That you may know that you have eternal life. And if you don't know that you have eternal life, and you don't know that you're a part of God's fellowship, you can know that today by receiving Christ as your Savior and settling it once and for all. And listen now, if you know that Christ is in your life, then God's calling you away from simple socializing. You may have to go to an office party now and then, but God says that's not your future, that's your past. Your future is Christian fellowship. Your future is a faith that stabilizes. Your future is friends that sustain you. Your future is a marriage that matters. Your future is different because Jesus Christ is in your life.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.